Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the fourth day of April. I'm Paul White. I want to say happy birthday to my son, Lucas. April the 4th in the year 2000. His mother and I were blessed to be introduced to a young man who's meant an enormous amount to both us and to a lot of people. And we love Lucas very much. We're very proud of him. Little update, Lucas is coaching high school baseball in Gallatin, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. He lives there in Hendersonville. He's getting married later this year. We love Sarah very much, and we're very excited about the life that they are beginning together. And I talk to Lucas every day. We love very much the young man he has become and are very proud of him. And so a happy birthday to Lucas. Natasha and I are actually going to be there today and tomorrow to celebrate his birthday and to watch him coach. We've watched him play baseball for years, but we're going to go watch him coach. And so it's an exciting time for us, and pray safe travels, would you? Luke chapter 11, we've been dealing with prayer, but I've been dealing with it not as a formula. Here's the words to say how to pray. And I think when we take the Lord's Prayer and we simply put it down to how to pray, we miss the reasons Jesus tells the stories around it. And we miss the reason why the Lord's Prayer was relevant to begin with. The entire context of Luke 11 is built off of the final story of Luke 10, where Mary spends time at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus applauds it and tells Martha, you're distracted. You've been led about, dragged about by these other things. The disciples are impressed. They want to know how to have that kind of life. And so Jesus introduces them to relational prayer. This is where we speak to the Father as if we are in a relationship because we believe we are. And it's not asking you to do what you don't believe. It's asking you to believe maybe what you don't. So it's not asking you to fake it. There's not formulas in prayer. It's asking you to have relationship. The formulas is knocking, 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 knocking. It's standing outside the door and hammering away and trying to make prayer a pest. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. The opposite of that is to be on the inside of the house, in bed with the Father, so to speak. This is a great illustration, just at rest. So you can be the person on the outside knocking, or you can be the kid on the inside. Then Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. But all you have to do is ask, seek, and knock. Everyone who asks receives it. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. And then 11, and this is where we were yesterday. If a son asks, I would recommend if you have a hard copy of your Bible and you underline things, just underline these words, if a son asks. Don't even underline the rest of the chapter. That way it'll stand out when you look at it. I did that a long time ago in my Bible. Just underline that, if a son asks. So that I could see that Jesus is making a contrast between the friend that asks on the outside of the house and the son that asks. Well, where were the sons in the first story? They were in the house with the Father. So the son doesn't have to go knock on the door and beg. He just has to say something to the Father. Just has to reach over and poke the Father. Hey, Dad, this is what I need. This is where I am. And then it's relational. And Jesus uses an illustration. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? And if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And you know, I don't know that we really need to spend this long amount of time trying to break down the difference between bread and stones and fish and serpents and eggs and scorpions, because it seems pretty obvious. You've asked for something that you can consume that's good for you, that's valuable, and instead you get something you can't use. You can't eat a stone, you can't eat a serpent, and you can't eat a scorpion. In fact, if you try to eat them, all of them will do you harm. They'll either break your teeth, destroy your gut, or kill you. So the contrast is if you ask something from the Father, you don't get something deadly. Our Father's not a death dealer. And the comparison here is us as fathers. He goes, so how many fathers among you? So he's trying to take his audience into relational conversation. Be the son. Consider what kind of father you are. So moms and dads out there, consider the kind of father or mother you are, and then put that in relation to the father. That leads us to verse 13. And if you ever needed a verse, if you ever make the statement, we have a good father, and someone says, prove it, and all you want to do is just look at Scripture, because I think you can look at your life and prove it, but you just want to look at Scripture, go to Luke 11, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What's the opposite of evil? Good. In relation to the Father's love and affection, you and I are evil. He's not saying we're evil people, but compared to the Heavenly Father, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Or Matthew's version of this, Matthew 7, give good things to those who ask him. You could argue those are the same thing, by the way, the Holy Spirit and good things. But the point is that he's a good father. And since he's a good father, you should expect good things. So the starting block is recognizing that he's your father and you are his son. So this is the culmination to what the disciples were looking for. Hey, we want that kind of relationship that Mary had with you. We want to know the kind of prayer life it takes to develop this. And Jesus says, oh, well, start with it being your father. And then at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it's story after story about what a good father would do versus what a friend would do. So you can look at God as a distant entity or you look at God as a father. Again, not formulaic. It's going to have to start familial, not formulaic. It's going to have to start by realizing your family, that he's a good father. So maybe this is a way to practically do it. It may not be the best way to do it, but it's a practical way to start, is to look at the best version you could come up with. You're a father. He invites you into the story here. How many of you as a father? So you're in it, whether you like it or not, you're in it. How many of you as a father would do this? And he goes, you're not even good at what you do. You're not good. You're as good as you can be, but you're not as good as the Heavenly Father. How much more? How much more? How much more? This speaks to the thing God's been saying to me. It's okay to accept where you are, but sometimes, son, you need to believe me for big. I think what he's saying to me is sometimes you need to believe for how much more? You believe that today? I hope you do. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.